Welcome back to another Team CP Endurance podcast here, mate. Richard Greer in the studio alongside me, Angus Petrie, and we have got a, let me get this right, Wulong special.
Yeah, that's right. A bit of a special
pronunciation there.
Wulong Mountain Quest. Yeah, no, that's right. I didn't even know the place existed a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, we'll have a chat about that. Sounds good.
Well, you are an international athlete now. Is that what we put you down as?
Wow, I guess so. Yeah, survived, got back in one piece. Bike's still in one piece as well, which is pretty exciting.
Well, I think, you know, you towed the line, didn't you? You got a number, you got a bib and stood on a start line on an international race. You're an international adventure racer now, really. Just
right.
Like Nathan Fave and like you're right up there.
Pretty much. Yeah,
similar, exactly. Same.
Thanks, Angus. Yeah. It's a great start.
Yeah. Hey, look, everybody, this is a special podcast just to talk all things China adventure racing. We've got, obviously, Richard Greer, who's just come back, who took a Team CP team across with him to battle the heat in China, and we're going to have Sam Manson on the podcast. But a big thank you to all our podcast partners, of course, as always, Solomon, Giant, True Fleece, Jubo Eyewear, and Pure Sports Nutrition. For them, we thank you. Richard, how many of those products did you use while you were in China?
I used all of them, actually, even the old True Fleece, even sort of on the day before and a day after kind of thing, cruising around. Yeah, no,
it's good. About that?
Solomon shoes got to work out all the time. Giant bike was worn. Pure, used those all day long, and even got the Jubo eyewear out for the bike ride with all the bugs, getting those out of my eyes. So it was good.
Perfect. Well, couldn't have thought of a better bunch of sponsors then, eh? Taking you off there.
Yeah, exactly. Well done.
So you've recovered. You're back. You've recovered.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't been for a run yet. That's probably a job to do, but that'll happen at some point. I was pretty useless last week, to be honest, trying to decide that I was good. But yeah, probably like got up and did a Zwift session at 6 o'clock on Monday morning. And I think actually that was a kick in the butt I needed just to kind of get back in on deck. It's often a bit of exercise just puts a smile on your face and takes you out of a bit of a slump that you think you're tired, but actually I'm just being a bit lazy. So good to go now, I think.
Yeah. And I suppose I'm allowed to ask this. Am I, you didn't come back with any fancy Chinese bird flu or anything?
No, I don't think so. I think we're good.
Did any of your teammates?
I know, so far. Well, Jesse brought COVID back, which is very good of him. We sat on a plane with him for, I don't know, lots of hours, traveled for like 36 hours to get home, something like that. But neither Jake or I managed to get it next to him. So he did pretty well, kind of keeping that to himself. So that was his little gift from China, I guess. But other than that, like, we didn't get sick. Everybody finished. All the bikes and things arrived. Like, had a great time. So, it was awesome.
Perfect. Well, just, hey, if you're watching this or listening to this, throw us a comment. If you've got a question you want to ask Richard and or Sam when we have them on just in a second about China, about racing overseas, perhaps, throw us a quick comment and we'll see if we can't deal to that along the way. But like I say, somebody else who was there and had a successful attack at the Chinese adventure race. In fact, I won't quite just surprise him on here yet. He looks like he's busy talking to his fans in Christchurch City there. Look, there he is. We'll bring him in here. Sam Manson, welcome back to the show again, mate.
Hey, good to see you guys again. Good to be back in New Zealand in the fresh air. I mean, it wasn't that bad over there, but it is very different in China. There's no place like home.
It's been a while since we've had you here, since winning the Kathmandu Coast to Coast, eh?
Yeah. I didn't quite make that after show podcast either because I was had to shoot home to help my family with the cyclone, and so it's been a long time.
Yeah, that's right. So, how's the body now, Sam? You've had a big few months. You've been racing across in Sweden as well, won an adventure race across there. You've been hanging out in Europe and then China as well. Like, how are you? What's the state of you in at the moment?
Yeah, it's been a really busy couple of months. So I went to Sweden straight away in June and did a multi-sport race at the beginning of July or end of June. That was only a sort of 4, 5, 6 hour race. I think that's about right. Obviously Fast and Furious. Then I had a month and a half of training and exploring around Europe because I had to keep fit for an expedition race that I had middle of August. And that went really well. It was 3.5 days, and the team managed to win that. We had a really solid race there. Then our Wulong China race was just last week. Started on the 5th, or was it? No, the 8th. The 8th of September. So that allowed about 3-4 weeks for me to turn around from the expedition race. in Europe to fly all the way back home, prepare for that, then fly back over to China. So it's been really, really busy. It's been a huge ask of my body, but I think I balanced it just right with giving myself just what it needed after the expedition race. I think obviously nutrient wise, but and just enough rest and just enough a tiny bit of speed work, because Wulong is a fast and furious race, especially if you want to be at the top end. But even for everyone, you're trying to get through a fairly aggressive course. And with my team, I needed to keep up some pretty fast people in my team too. So I knew I had to squeeze in a tiny bit of speed, which is really hard to do after an expedition race.
Yeah, actually, it's really good. You brought up about your team. Actually, Jan Zippel's already asked about one about the idea of how the race came about, but how you came up with the team. But the Wulong Adventure Race has been going for some years, hasn't it? And it's traditionally been popular for New Zealand teams to attend.
Yeah, well, as far as we know from this race, because they celebrated it as the 20th, the Wulong's been going since 2003. That's the right year, right? 2003. Yep. And so that makes 20 years of that particular race. But my first experience of China races was 2013. And I'm well aware that there were lots of Kiwi teams, especially a lot of my idols, that were racing in China regularly before I did my first trip in 2013. Now, I don't know when they first started going. I'm sure it was a good 5 or 6 years before that. But there were a few people that were familiar faces at the race, at the ceremony, who were given awards because they'd been to every single one. And I had no idea they'd been to every single one. So, yeah, China is awesome. It's hard to explain, but there are some races there, like this one, that have been going on for a long time. And there used to be 4 to 5 to 6 of these large international races that were on every year. And when I first went in 2013, I think I did 3 events that year. And then the 2014, I did about 6 events in China. There were some in April, there were some in June, there were some in August, there were some in September. And you just keep coming back. Or you just stay over there, because of course that would save you on flights if you could have get enough leave off work. And if you saved on flights, then these events actually do have a bit of prize money, and you can come home with a little bit in your pocket, as well as an incredible adventure. But what's really awesome about these events is that they're very much like multi-sport, and you don't get a lot of that around the world, because it's got the kayaking, it's got the off-road aspect with the running and the mountain biking, and a really cool, I guess, team aspect. So you need to know people who can do this sort of sport as well. And of course, in New Zealand, you tend to know someone who can do a bit of multi-sport. So it's not too hard to make a team. The only tricky part is to convince them to come all the way to China as well.
Yeah, so you had a pretty hot team, didn't you? You had Simone Meyer, longest day winner. You had Sam Clark, he's run a longest day or two as well, and Alex Hunt from Australia, who is a very impressive athlete, and was he third this year on the longest day, and been away from New Zealand, obviously, with COVID, but placed well, I think, second in the past as well, and is looking to come back again next year. So obviously the job was to win. What were your thoughts with the team going into the race? Like, were you like, we should have this, it should be pretty good? Like, for me, looking at it on paper, I was like, you guys are a shoo-in. How were you feeling?
Yeah, and in some ways, I was mostly worried about myself, of course, but you always are worried about yourself. Coming to a team that's strong, just wanting to be making sure that you can do a good job for the team. Everyone wants to work well with the team, and everyone wants to not let the team down. So you're trying to get into good shape for that, but as well as do a good performance. Yeah, I was certainly well aware of how strong my teammates were, and I knew that I'd just done that expedition race in Europe. So there was a bit of pressure on that. I did speak to a few of them in winter and around June, and I sort of expressed my concern. And there was talk about changing teammates, but it didn't quite work out. And they like, you know what, we'll take the risk and see what you can do. You know, you've proven yourself before, basically they said, and so we'll give it a crack. And obviously I vouched that I would do my absolute best to do everything I could to get myself into shape for China. And one of my methods for that was to train so much for the expedition race that I'd be so fit for the expedition race that I wouldn't have as much fatigue as I normally would afterwards. and I was doing some speed work not too far out from the expedition race that I wouldn't normally do for that sort of race, because I was thinking about China and wanting to, I needed some speed in the legs before I turn up. But yeah, it was intimidating. And but I have raced with Simone before. I've raced with Sam Clark before. I haven't raced with Alex before, but I have raced against him. He's been usually in the one of our main opponents in China. He raced with Daniel Jones and Jackie and Mimi from France, who collectively made an extremely strong team, and they beat us quite a few times in China races. And we also beat them a few times, but they were very difficult to challenge. And this year, Daniel Jones taking up ultra running, UTMB, and then Jackie and Mimi have basically retired. It left Alex free. Dougal Allen is now in Team New Zealand. It gave us a bit of a shuffle around with our teammates, and that's how we were created as the current team.
Cool. Have you won the event before?
Wollong, yeah. I was had an incredible experience when I was younger, 2015. We had a really cool team with Simone, a good friend Hamish Fleming, and Marcel Hagner, and we won it in 2015. Yeah, we just were an incredible team together. Everything just went perfectly for us that particular race, and we beat some quite strong teams that year. And actually, it was not long after that I quit my job. So it was just, everything was going well that year.
Must have been a good payday.
Yeah, no, that's yeah, awesome. Yeah. But the 2016, the following year, every race was a disaster. So I think it's important to note with China, even though you might have a solid team, anything can happen there. It's a lot to ask for, and you don't really want to pressure yourself too much with the prize money that's on hand, because I mean, you want to enjoy the experience as well, because it is an incredible experience. It is so fun to race as a team with such good people and like-minded people, and if it's just hanging out with the other teams as well in the evening at the buffet at the hotel, it's a really cool experience. But the prize money is a great bonus. And it is a draw card too, and it can make a huge difference to a lifestyle as a multi-sporter who's trying to do it. Now, I'm not doing it full time, of course, but if you wanted to do it almost part time, you can because of China. Without China, of course, you couldn't. There's no other races like it that provide prize money. But yeah, 2016 was a disaster, and we had issues at every race, from crashes to illnesses, and certainly did not make any money that year.
Yeah. What, like, coming back to this year, what was the toughest part of the race for you? So you got 4 days, you got the heat, you got the terrain, you got the other competitors. There's lots going on there. You were trying to keep up with your teammates for the, like, and you have highs and lows throughout the day and throughout the course of the race. What was your darkest moment for the race this year?
Oh, my darkest moment. Well, it just gave a little bit of context. So the location of this race, Wollong, is sort of south central China, but closer more south. It doesn't look like it's south on a map, but China does go a long way north. And so it is really warm that time of the year. It's around 30 to 35, and we have had a year, the last year before COVID, 2019, where it was over 40. Yeah, really, really aggressive change from New Zealand winter. Even though I wasn't experiencing New Zealand winter, still a big jump up. Where I did my expedition race was only 10, 15 degrees. So that's what makes it a lot harder for most of us for racing. And my hardest day was the first day. My darkest moment was by far the first day. And it probably was because of coming from the expedition race, and it was a big shock to the system to be pushing myself at that really high intensity, because everyone's fresh as well the first day. And so things are possibly a bit faster than they will be on the second, third, fourth day. And then the heat, because we started in the city, down in the valley in the Wollong city or the Wollong town, it's much hotter down there than is halfway up the mountain or at the top of the mountain. The mountain next to Wollong town, it goes up to, I think, almost 2,000 meters. I think we might have got to near the top of it, Richard, when we're going through the horse park. That's around 1800. I might be wrong.
Yeah.
But even there, it's still like mid 20s, but way better than 35. And so day one, yeah, shock to my system. I just was hanging on from the get-go. And as the day went on, I got progressively a bit weaker, needed a little bit of help on the mountain bike stage, which was after the, so we started with a fast run, a kayak down the main river, another fast run back up the river, and then we mountain biked up the mountain. And then we ran after the mountain bike through those incredible caves. They call them the Three Natural Bridges. It's this huge, deep canyon with huge limestone cliffs. I don't know, let's say 200, 300 meters high cliffs. Oh, what do you reckon, Richard?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you went at the first one, it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then there was a second one was even bigger. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, these gorges are connected with these huge natural bridges of limestone, and you go underneath them, and they've created this fascinating walkway. If you look at Richard's Instagram, you made a cool, quite a few videos, didn't you? You took your phone with you on the race. I've never seen anyone do that before. Take their phone and take videos along the way. Doing me too much stress.
My job was just trying not to get kicked off the team, just trying to keep it on the down low. And then when Sarah said, I'm trying to just ride around this corner, you're filming me while I'm riding around this corner, please don't crash. It's like, oh, okay, I'll try not to. I'll make sure I put it in my pocket just in time. So, yeah.
Is there no longer a media ban over there? No longer a social media ban in China?
Oh,
like you didn't used to be able to use all of that, did you?
Well, I think
there's definitely a ban.
Yeah, that was because I was on roaming, so my phone was able to work normally via that. So I think if I was on the Chinese network or via the internet, it wouldn't have worked.
Right.
Yep. Really? I certainly haven't heard of it working through roaming either.
Yeah, well, it just seemed to work, so I haven't been arrested yet, so I think I'm good.
okay. Yeah, no, for those that don't know, in China, you can't use the big networks like Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or Google, for that matter. You can't use any form of Google. So if you've got a Google phone, you can't use Google Search or Google Chrome. It's all blocked, completely blocked. So if you have an Apple phone, you can use Safari, but you certainly can't use Facebook or Instagram anymore.
Well, what you can rely on is the CP Media team getting there. Getting the information out back, mate. You can always rely on the CP Media team to get it
exactly.
It's quite impressive, mate. So if you want to see what that was like, either check a few of the photos on my gram, but Rich has got the videos. So we're running through that canyon, and that's when the cramp kicked in for me. Yeah, so that stage was supposed to be 14 kilometers, and it ended up being 19. It was extremely hot. I decided to wear my long sleeve top that day for sun protection. It's very much a dry fit material. And when it's wet, it does cool me down really well. But with the lack of wind and slower moving, I was way too hot. And I just was cramping. Almost every muscle in my leg was cramping as we got closer to the finish line. So, and it's just quite stressful being the first day, thinking, oh no, is this going to be me for the rest of the race? Am I going to be letting the team down for the entire race? So you certainly go to a dark place there. And because it was 5 kilometers longer than it's supposed to be in that sort of heat, you run out of water and you start to see things. I certainly wasn't hallucinating, but your body is screaming at you to find water, and it gets to a point where you just want to stop. You just want to stop and just sit down, but the urge becomes really, really high to basically quit, because your body, it needs water. It's a defense mechanism. If you keep going, you're going to basically ruin yourself. So, but eventually we got there and stumbled across the finish line and made it. We were sticking that day by about 2-3 minutes. But thankfully,
you were leading until sort of later on, weren't you? Like into that last 4 or 5 Ks.
We were leading most of the race that day until the last 4 kilometres. But of course, my pace didn't help with that with the team. And when you're cramping, you can't really push someone along too much faster. You just fall over.
But
thankfully, from then on, the team did much better, and we finished ahead of the other teams every other time.
Yeah,
it's a really strong Chinese teams.
Yeah, they were very strong, weren't they? Like second, third, and fourth, I think. Across the line, something like that. So pretty impressive, and it also runs like it was really strong. A running race, wasn't it? In terms of where the times made up
on that particular day, definitely. But even the whole race, there was a lot of running, a lot more running than we have had in the past, which it's obviously in favour of them. But it's their race; they can do what they want.
Yeah.
Normally, the mountain biking is a little bit more off-roady. We did have a lot more on-road riding, but and that is. that suits them a bit better too, because they're, like I said, they're really strong athletes, but they do lack a bit of the off-road riding skills. Kayaking, they used to be atrocious at kayaking, but they've actually got quite good at it now. Still not to our level, thankfully, but they're still reasonably solid on the boat. They've obviously been practicing while we've been away.
The race finished with a quite a long kayak, a couple, 2 or 3 hour kayak or something. Did the team Top Sport take that fastest time on the water?
I don't know the split, to be honest. I assume so. We had a good pedal. So on the fourth day, the last day, it finished with a 30k pedal. The first part was on the reservoir lake. But it definitely had a bit of flow in it because we were going a lot faster. We were doing about 10Ks an hour, which in the China adventure racing scene, our boats are usually pretty crap. No rudders and just sort of the cheapest thing you'd normally find in the warehouse in New Zealand. It's that kind of style kayak. But these were okay. But you normally don't get much over 8Ks an hour still. And we were clipping along sort of 10, 11Ks an hour, which was much faster than usual. So there must have been some current in the lake. And then we had to do that big, we got to the dam about 14Ks in, and you had to portage around the dam, and it was a decent portage. It was about 3 kilometers in the heat of the day, and they gave us these trolleys. You had to strap the kayak onto this little trolley that was about 5 centimeters off the ground or less. They'd hand built them overnight. And then you're trying to tow this kayak by, you had to bring your own bit of string to tow the front. But the trolley's on caster wheels. So the whole thing is just drifting along in all directions. If there's a camber on the road, it's off to the left. If there's a camber to the right, it's off to the right. And then if you're going on a downhill, the kayak runs you over because it's going faster than you. It's out of control. And I know that Flavio's team, I heard that they lost one of the wheels. They only had 3 wheels. Oh. We can imagine 3 kilometers in the heat of the day. I mean, it was hard enough as it was, let alone with only 3 wheels. So I don't imagine it was much fun.
Good stuff. What was your highlight? Kara.
Oh yeah, I was just saying that then after that we obviously it was all more kayaking to finish, but it was all on the river then, so that was much faster. Big volume river. I think it's like the Clutha, but maybe twice the size.
Yep.
Big volume.
What was your highlight?
Yeah, the highlight's usually the finish line, Richard. Yeah.
Thank God that's over.
The relief of making it to the finish line alive and that we weren't strawn out with extra kilometres on the second, third, fourth day. That first day was just a nightmare with being drawn out an extra 5Ks when you haven't got any water.
Yep.
So just that relief that when you see that finish line, because you don't know the course. You know what you've been told, but of course you don't know the area. So every corner you come around, you're like, where's that finish line? Where's that finish line? That's a huge relief. But highlight-wise, it's such an incredible area, isn't it? I've talked about those limestone cliffs and those natural bridges. That landscape is everywhere. There was just these huge mountains everywhere with this a really large, I don't know how to describe, but it's a really, really beautiful area. And just being there and racing in that area and your stereotypical China, it's pretty cool to know that it's a place that you wouldn't normally go to as a tourist. You wouldn't know about it. And here we are, been invited here to do what we love in such a unique part of the world. That's kind of the highlight, really.
Yeah, good job. Speaking of big and watching Richard's social media, what they clearly do well is, the pre-race briefing and all the other trimmings that go with it. Like it's like an Olympic-style scale light show and all sorts of stuff going on there.
Yeah, they certainly have a lot of money to spend. So the opening ceremony was huge. They usually have lots of acts, lots of skits, or dancers. They have this choreographed dance group doing who knows what, but there's about 10 of them at a time, all dressed up, doing a fantastic dance to some crazy music, usually a theme of some sort, but we don't know what it is because it's all in Chinese. And you're sitting and just take it all in. This is the evening before the race, and it's usually quite late, and all you're thinking about is wanting to go to bed. But at the same time, you've got to appreciate what an effort they have put into to the ceremony. It's like being at the Olympics. Mm. It's, yeah, and there's a fireworks going off. They have all the local and, but local, but hugely local, you know, of the whole province. Dignitaries, officials coming along, and they all do speeches. Of course, it's in Chinese, but the enthusiasm in their voice, it's obviously a very proud moment of them to be talking on the stage and giving their speech, which they probably spent hours writing. And then a huge shout at the end, to which everyone else cheers, and so we cheer along. And at the end, there was a drone show, if you remember, Richard. I did the numbers because I just counted the length by the width and then by the height. But I reckon it was about, what did I work it about? I think about 600 drones. I think it worked out to be. They were all staggered perfectly in line. They obviously lit off the ground, spread out in a huge area, about 600 drones, all with a light on them that could change color. And these drones all flew up into the sky above the stage, way up in the sky. And they're all spread out across the area of a football field. And they start making shapes. And they start doing writing and logos, and they've got the sponsors up there, and I've never seen anything like it in my life. It's obviously some sort of new technology they've come up with, where they can choreograph drones. it's cool. It's always nice to see something new.
Yeah, good job. Are you going to be back to defend your title, Sam? Is that on the list for next year? Where are you guys at?
Yeah, well, I mean, China racing, it's special. It's something it's really hard to describe. You have to be there to fully understand it, eh, Richard? I mean, it's the first time you've been there, yeah. And now you know. How would you describe it?
Oh, it's just next
compared
level,
to other compared to other events that you've done.
Oh yeah, like just like the 4 days, the scale of the terrain was epic. The even just the camaraderie, as you say, was awesome, and the event organization was amazing as well. So yeah, just completely next level. Like it was interesting coming back and so like just doing a bit of a blurb of what it was like, and I was like, oh, probably top three. And I was like, nah, I've actually just got to put my neck out there and say it's the best event I've ever been to. And part of that was because I had actually no idea what I was in for. Like I had one YouTube clip of that was my intel going into it. So just having nothing, no expectations whatsoever, and then lining up and just sort of, as you say, I don't really know where I'm going today. I'm just going to see what happens and hopefully we survive. So and for everything to be ticked off and no one hurt themselves and everything we got around, it was amazing.
Yeah. So in that aspect, I'm definitely going back. I mean, of course, the as I've mentioned, the prize money is a real bonus. But it's just the racing itself is hard to go by. Our sport's not really that big in this world, multi-sport, and yep. To have an event like that exists where you can potentially come home and have made a little bit of money on an overseas trip compared to other events where you usually come home with a massive loss. Yep. It doesn't cost that much to go there.
No. Yeah. So in your opinion, what level do you think an athlete needs to be based on sort of New Zealand events and things that we're doing here to be able to, I guess, complete an event like that, compete at and complete? What do you think that people, where do they need to be sort of thinking, maybe I could do that?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. It is, it's 4 days long, but it is hard, and if you don't have the experience of racing, you can get quite hurt there especially with the extreme heat.
Mm.
And then with the team racing, you tend to have at least one person in the team, at least, if not everyone, that are pushing themselves much harder than they would if it was an individual race.
Yep.
Just because of the team dynamics of it. Mm. Maybe. It depends on the how enthusiastic the team is.
Yeah, and goals.
Some teams are really good at pacing themselves. But if someone is pushing themselves well beyond their limits, that's where mistakes start happening, like a crash and things like that. So you need to have people who are experienced enough to make good decisions. So it's a little bit more than just being fit. Having a good experience to make good decisions. Same with the heat, dealing with heat, you know, looking after yourself and your body because of the heat, nutritionally, especially electrolytes, food at the end of the day. Getting your equipment ready each day and looking after your teammates, it always is a big part to play, because if you don't, I guess you probably couldn't have a good time. you'd end up a really big sufferfest.
Yep.
So that's a big part to play. Fitness-wise, yeah, it wouldn't take a huge amount of fitness to be able to complete this race, although they do have cutoffs. If you compare to some of those Chinese teams that they had, because there was 60 teams, and some of those Chinese teams were fairly low in their experience level and fitness levels. If you saw some of their bikes in the equipment room.
Yeah, yeah. But then only 24 teams out of the 60 actually finished, didn't they? So exactly. That was, I guess that shows you that the standard is that. And if you're not there, well, you can still turn up, but can you actually get through? So so it's still pretty challenging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's very full on. It's obviously extremely well organized, but it's also very full on. So yeah, I definitely recommend that if you're considering doing it, you need to have a few years of all sorts of different events behind you, just so you can be prepared for whatever can throw at you. Because China tends to throw a little bit extra at you. It's full of surprises.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Awesome. Thanks, Sam. Mate, thanks for coming on again. As always, you're just always so good to us and giving up your time for us. But congratulations, one, for winning the Wulong China race. But two, just before you go, one last question before you go, because this is a bit of an open podcast that we're just throwing out there. Big news this week coming out, Godzone New Zealand cancelling and potentially not ever going to be restarting. What's your take on that, mate?
Oh, yeah, Godzone. Yeah, that's really gutting, eh? I know a lot of people that were doing it. I wasn't planning on doing it next year, but I certainly was planning on doing it in the future. It just seemed like it's an event that you never thought would end. No, it's not really a good situation for anyone, that one, is it? So, I don't know. I certainly heard lots of different stories from different people. I know people at Doc. I also know Warren Adam a little bit. You see the different news articles coming out. So there's a lot of conflicting stuff coming out. It would be nice if everyone could have worked it out, eh? If they could have worked it out with Doc and Doc could have worked it out with him. And it sounds like there was a bit of lack of communication going on by the looks of things. So that's crap. But that, you know, we've all ended up on the receiving end of that. So hopefully with Nathan's retirement, maybe he can bring some more awesome events. He's obviously got a few going, and yeah, maybe he's the one to bring out a new expedition race too.
Yeah, like, nice. I guess the big thing is really, though, isn't it? It's the loss of the event to the likes of you guys. I've been there myself and done it. It's such an amazing adventure race to be a part of, and it is quite an achievable. Well, you know, it's a big few days, but we've seen lots of people go through that, get that real taste for adventure racing, and go on to do, you know, plenty of other things. Real loss to us, I think.
Yeah. It's it's what spawned a lot of people energy and I guess first understanding of what adventure racing is, you know, it almost grows this. It does. It grows the sport because without the Godzone, a lot of people in New Zealand probably wouldn't have a clue what an adventure race is. So
it's a pinnacle. Yeah, you've got to have that there. In the same way that if the Coast to Coast fell over, all the other events underneath that fall over too, don't they? That's kind of unfortunately with Godzone that affects adventure racing too. But without that pinnacle event there, so. Be interesting to see what happens.
Such an awful thing, Richard.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah. But if that was to happen.
Not coast to coast, surely.
Come on now, Peter. Come on now.
Good job. Hey, mate. Sorry, Sam. Sorry.
We know you've got a dinner to get back to, so we'll let you carry on there, mate. Thanks for joining us, as always, and we'll catch up again a bit later in the year, eh?
Awesome. Sounds good, guys. Great to see you.
Well done. Cheers, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Bye. See you, mate. All right, so that's Sam, mate. Let's just talk about you, eh? Because like you said, you were a virgin. You were a virgin to this Chinese racing, mate. What was your take? Like, you know, what you came home. That was the first thing. Tick, come home.
Yeah, so that's survived. Yep, and gear survived and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, no, it was just one of those things. Like, I only found out like a month or 3 weeks before to say
pretty sure. Kind of got
called up to a team. I'd been doing a bit of running sort of thing, so that was fortunate. I was going to do that race, Tekapo race, that was in the weekend, so I had started a bit of running for that, so that probably helped. But it was 100Ks of running over 4 days. That was a bit intimidating. I wasn't sure how that was going to go. But my experience, like that first day that Sam mentioned that he was really battling, like that's when I had a horrible day that day as well. Like Sarah, who was with our team, she said, I've never seen you ever like this ever before. Like, you're in a bit of, I was in the fetal position for a good 20 minutes, or at least 10 anyway, after the finish line. And the only reason I got out of that was I was cramping, so I had to move to a different sort of position.
So that was the stairs, right? Like, you had 1,020 stairs.
Yeah, that, and also just the race starts fast as well. Like, yeah, it's just like we're running 4 minute Ks off the blocks for the first 5Ks kind of thing, down to the kayaks and just silly stuff like that, like trying to we weren't by any means first, we were looking to try and do our own thing. So so that plus the heat, plus the fact that it's 5Ks longer than you expected, all those things. But I like one sort of thing I guess I figured out is, so I went over there with a bit of a nutrition strategy with gels and water, which I've used in the past successfully and fine, but just because like hydration was such a challenge, like I had the whole day, I couldn't quite get that concentration right in my gut. So my stomach was just jammed up all day. And as a result of that, probably getting more dehydrated, not quite getting the energy levels on board, and just kind of went down and down and down sort of battled. Yeah. But once after that, sort of like, let's do a low concentration sports drink and then have little bits of extra bits as I needed it, that was a much better strategy and I didn't have any problems. And by the time I got to day four, I was feeling good and I could have done a day five kind of thing, as I'd actually sort of recovered from day one after that.
And I, you know, I was part of the family chat, I suppose it was, after that day one, the FaceTime chat that we all had after day one, and you know, Jake did look a bit chipper than you did, that's for sure.
Yep, that's right. he was pretty chipper. Did you? But, were you part of the FaceTime chat at the end? I'm not sure if you were. That Jake was. No, not so.
I missed that one. Must have missed that one.
Sorry, Kira.
I was just going to say, how was the team dynamics? What part were you? Where were you in the pecking order? Was it?
Oh, yeah. Like, I think that was the best thing, is that we all went over there with, hey, let's enjoy this experience. Let's race as hard as we can. Let's look after each other. Let's have some fun. And let's experience this race. So just the fact of, hey, look at that. And just sort of looking around. And I think we were the team that had the most fun. Like, there was one section that was 5Ks in these little rafts, basically trying to paddle them with cricket bats that were sawn up the night before, the hands sort of blistered and not happy. But like, we were saying g'day to every team and there was really not much coming back from anybody else, but we were having a great time. It was awesome. And so that really is another part for me that sort of makes it, with good people helping each other out. Like, we all have a good bits and we all had a bad bit. So sort of getting through together was pretty cool. So again, made that finish line even more sweeter because it was just a great time.
And some cool, like, is it the photo that we used to advertise this podcast is actually you guys, your team, abseiling off that. I think that looked like another good experience there.
Yeah, well, you're racing. The time's not off when you're abseiling, and you sort of get your gear on and do all that sort of stuff. And as I was coming out, like abseiling as you do, and you had to sort of step out, and then you sort of a bit of a swing as you sort of go underneath the bridge. At that moment, I was like, feels like my harness is a bit loose. Like, that's not ideal, is it? Like, feels like if I could swing down, I'm just going to plop out. And so I was like, okay, just focus on the rope. So once we got down and got underway, and like, it's such a heavy rope to kind of get the abseil going, that was a bit of a challenge. But once I didn't feel I was going to sort of whip out, then it was much better. But I mean, again, like through the cave system, there was like three or four abseil pitches that we had to abseil down, sort of these big rock faces amongst that. Like, yeah, just to be able to do that, swimming through these big open pools of water to get to the other side, etc., were pretty cool. I think like in one of my videos, I was sort of skirting around the side as Sarah was running through, and just at the moment, you probably don't pick it up in the video, but she completely face planted, which was pretty funny. You didn't get that on video, did you? Yep, certainly did. So yeah, great.
Well, although they also tell me that back home here, if you were to go next year, that you've already got some work-ons in your training, and that perhaps riding with the kids to school on the bus and getting bus acclimatized might be a piece of training you could throw in there, right? A little birdie tells me.
Yeah. Like, because it was a circuit. So every day we bus there and then bus back. So one ride was like 2 hours in the bus to get home again. And it was around these wiggly roads. And yeah, I did feel like I was still on the bus sort of as I was trying to go to sleep at the end of it. But one thing about China is the coverage, cell phone coverage was amazing. So like, as I said, with
not
the
you were supposed to have it.
No, it just seemed to work. So didn't ask questions and beg for forgiveness. We were watching the Warriors on the back of the bus on the way home. versus the Panthers. No one else was very excited on the bus. Maybe it was because they're losing, but that was pretty funny. Ditched the rest of the family that were watching it on home on the couch. That I jumped in and watched it instead. So yeah, pretty cool.
So will you go back?
Was it a tick thing? It was definitely a tick thing. I haven't really talked about it, discussed it as such, but yeah, like any event, the more sort of a few days go by and you're like, oh yeah, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Now that I know about it and what like the running requirement was for it, and also just managing the heat and the nutrition and all those things, it is one of those things you're like, yeah, I reckon I really could do that better. We improved every day as we went on. Like we start after the first day, we had a bit of a tough day. So we were 24th and then we finished sort of 16th place as we're sort of slowly climbing up the leaderboard, which was quite cool. So just that was part of learning. That was part of understanding each other and how to kind of manage each other through it. So yeah, it'd be pretty cool to be able to go back. And as the event organizers, they do a great job. So it actually wasn't particularly hard to do once you've sort of figured out all your jabs and your sort of visas and all those other bits and pieces that you need to kind of line up to be able to do it. So yeah, it'd be pretty awesome to be able to have another crack at it.
It sounds like it was an absolute fabulous time. I've really only got one more question, and that really is like, did you win some prize money? Did you bring some money back for the media budget, mate?
We did win prize money. We run we won $3,000 US as a team. That was pretty amazing. Yeah, it's quite good,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably the most money I've won sort of full stop. But I just can't tell Nate, my eldest, that it was for 16th, like with my trophy on the wall. Like, that's 16th. You can't put that there, Dad.
I'm just running the numbers in my head. That was 3,000 US. You had four teammates by the time you divvy that. Exactly. By the time Tash takes her share. I'm just trying to work out. No, it doesn't actually sound like it. I'm back to zero again. I don't
yeah, it gets back there pretty quickly. Sorry about that. But the media budget's done on love, isn't it? It's a great thing.
Oh, bloody good. Hey, mate, anything else? You want to talk about anything else while we're here?
I
tell you what we'll talk about real quickly is if you are enjoying these two idiots on the screen right now, well, one good thing is you can tune back in tomorrow night because tomorrow night we're going to Walker podcast, mate.
Yes. So, Louie, looking forward to that. It'd be great to have a chat, talk all things Walker. We've got a couple of three really good guests on that. We're going to talk about mental skills, which is one of my favourite topics tomorrow night. So that should be awesome.
Yeah, bloody good. So don't forget, tune in tomorrow night for our Waka 100 podcast. As always, like I said at the start of the show, big thanks to Solomon, Giant, True Fleece, Jewelbow Sunglasses, and Pure Sports Nutrition for everything that they do for Team CP, for helping Richard get him and his team across to China race so we can have these tales. And, well, Richard, thank you for joining.
Yeah, no, good. And thanks for keeping the show together. And well done on all your enthusiasm and help as well. It's awesome. Well done, Angus.
Yeah, I'm just stalling here because I'm looking for the end music, but I found it now. So thank you very much, everybody. Good night, and see you soon.